Book of Job, chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. We will be reading from the NIV, the New International Version. And any of you who do not have, please hold up your hand and we'll provide one of those. There's one of the verses I'd like us to read together. So it'd be important for you to have an NIV in front of you. All right. Job 13, beginning in verse 13. Keep silent and let me speak. Then let come to me what may. Why do I put myself in jeopardy and take my life in my hands? Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Indeed, this might turn out for my deliverance, for no godless man would dare come before him. Listen carefully to my words. Let your ears take in what I say. Now that I have prepared my case, I know I will be vindicated. Now turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. John 14. Verse 25. Jesus is speaking. John 14, 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then one verse in chapter 15, John 15, 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then the last reading from the epistles, Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is the hope of a Christian? What's a Christian mean when he says, I have hope? There is hope in me. How is it that the Christian uses that word faith, or that word hope? You know the story about the little boy when he was asked what faith was. He said, well, it's believing something you know very well isn't true. Many people have the same idea about hope. Well, I hope it's so. They mean they know very well it's not. In fact, I asked a young man after church last Sabbath morning, when I got to the Northwoods, they asked me to preach there that morning, and it was the same man who had been our overhead projectionist down here for the seminar last year. And he'd been very deeply tied up with the seminars this year, so I preached. And afterwards, I was talking with one of the young men at the door, and he said something about the message. And I said, well, do you know Jesus Christ? I'd been preaching on Christ. I said, do you know, is Christ in your heart? And he said, well, I hope so. And by that he meant, I think so. I talked with him for some time after that, but I'm not really sure. I don't really know whether I've trusted in Christ or not. The point was that he based his confidence on a thing that he had done. He had made a decision, and he had said certain things to God some time back, but his confidence was more on what he had done than on what God had done or said to him. What he had said to God, what he had done, rather than on what God had done or God had said to him. And so now there were a number of things in his life that were going smash. The rug was being pulled out from under him in a number of different ways. And so because his confidence was on what he had done and what he had said, he really wasn't sure. And a father said to me about a wedding not long ago, well, I hope it lasts. Meaning, I have some serious doubts. I don't really know whether it will or not. And I believe that God put Romans 15 and verse 13 into his book in order to give us a better definition of the word hope than that. I hope it will. Meaning, I don't really think it will. It's a prayer. That 13th verse of chapter 15 is a prayer. God put that prayer into Paul's heart for all Christians, and he just overflows with it. Let's read it together for just a minute there in the NIV. Verse 13 of chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that verse summarizes the whole book of Romans? Everything that we've studied all the way through the book of Romans from week to week to week to week is summarized by that verse. Think about that for a minute while I read it one more time. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people think that the original manuscript of the book of Romans ended with that verse. And if you notice, he begins with something else there in verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness and complete. And they think that all the rest of the chapter of the book of Romans is a postscript, an addendum, something else that Paul's added as an afterthought, that he really intended to end the whole book with those words. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The last two chapters would certainly seem to indicate that this was a climax to them. He's been dealing with the subject of joy and peace in those last two chapters. You older, more mature Christians, probably the Gentiles there in Rome. And you younger, less mature, maybe Jewish Christians also in Rome. Don't allow your liberties, the liberties of those of you who are more mature, Don't allow your liberties because of offense to come between you and the other less mature Christians. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It divides the body. Once you live at peace with each other, whether you're Jews or Gentiles, now you're believers. I want you to live at peace with each other. All through these chapters, Jesus is teaching us about joy and peace. Chapter 14, verse 7. Look at that for a minute. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then chapter 15 and verse 4. Everything that I have written in the Old Testament, God's saying, was written to teach you how through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, you might have hope. Throughout the whole two chapters, God's encouraging His spirit of unity and a harmony of praise, peace, and joy in the praise of God. In chapter 15, verse 10, rejoice you Gentiles in the two-part harmony. That's not the translation, that's my interpretation. But it's two-part harmony, Jewish-Gentiles, harmony. The Jews have come to it through this history, but it's the same Scriptures that have converted them. The Gentiles are now suddenly blessed with it, but it's the same Scriptures that have converted them. And you have that two-part harmony. There are five different quotations that he makes there, beginning in verse 9 of chapter 15. Five different quotations from the Old Testament, where God points out how this is not a new idea to him. It's a thing he's been aimed at for all time, that the Jews and the Gentiles would come together in praise of him, in joy and peace of harmony. So now God says, this is my continuing prayer for you. It has not only been my desire from all time, and it is the time and my desire for these Romans here, but it is now my prayer for you. May the God of hope, the God of hope, whose plan is all along, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was the prayer in Jesus' heart. Peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. I desire that my joy would be in you. And God's teaching us many things about Christian hope, the kind of hope that the Christian has in that one verse there, that 13th verse. First, God's kind of hope comes from God, and it returns to God. He's the God of hope. It comes from him into our hearts and returns to him as a praise of him. He tells us that he will put the two ingredients for this kind of hope into our hearts. These are the two things that will cause us to have the kind of hope that God is. The kind that's the opposite of this, well, I hope it's so. I'm not sure, I doubt it, I question it, I have a real problem with it. I hope. It's not the hope he's talking about. The kind he's talking about is very confident. In fact, God says he will fill us with joy and peace so that we will overflow and abound, just run over with his kind of hope. It not only comes from God, it returns to God. Look at chapter 5 of Romans in verse 2. We have peace with God. He tells us where it comes from. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He's explaining to us there where it comes from. He's teaching us that it is when Jesus Christ comes into our hearts, actually comes into our hearts as Savior and Lord, that's when God sends this kind of hope into our lives. This is where it comes from. And it's also the object or the purpose of that hope. It is to be to the glory of God. It makes us able to praise God in a way we just couldn't do before. In a sense, we are a praise of God because we're created in his image. But then we come to know him, trust him, respond to him. Christ comes into our hearts. And then willingly we want to be that praise of him. So this is the origin of the Christian kind of hope. It comes from God, the God of hope, and it sends it comes into our lives. He sends it into our lives when Christ comes in. But again, we come back to the point, what really is it? How do I know that I have that kind of hope, rather than just this kind, well, maybe so, I think so, I hope so. How do I know that I have God's kind of confident hope instead of this other thing? The Greek word for hope is elpis, and it means to anticipate with real expectation. Almost always in the New Testament, it refers to anticipate good things. It means to have confident knowledge that this is the fact. In Hebrews 3:6, Paul uses that same word when he writes of the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope that we hold firm until the end. It's a source of confidence. It's a source of rejoicing. It's a reason for rejoicing. Hebrews 6:11, God describes the full assurance of hope right unto the end. Right down until the very end things. In Hebrews 10:3, the same word is translated faith. So faith and hope are very similar. In fact, in Acts, Paul used this same word, elpis, when he was reasoning with the king. He said, "For which hope's sake I am called in question today." It's the hope that was given to my forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. It's the confidence that they had that God knew them, they were God's, they belonged to him, he owned them and would carry them right through. He says, "For this confidence sake, for this hope's sake, this faith, I'm called in question today." In other words, God's word for hope never means hope so, or maybe so, or think so. As though I were uncertain, unsure. God's word for hope means I know so. There is absolutely no room for any other possibility. I'm absolutely confident beyond any shadow of a doubt. Confident not because what I have said to God, or not what I have done for him or to him, but because of what God has done for me. Because he owns me. He is in my heart. I belong to him. He'll do with me whatever he wants. Whether I like it or not, he will do whatever he wants. I understand the class this morning, we were talking there in Dr. Gerstner's class about even when it's not convenient, even when we don't feel like it, even then, God does things. I know that I belong to him because he's doing things that I don't even want to do always. Because of what God has done for me and because of what he has put into my heart, the life that is there, this is where the peace and the joy comes from. I know that I have his hope in me because of the peace and of the joy that I find there. These two ingredients that he describes there in verse 13, joy and peace. You see, I can know that I have God's kind of confident hope there when I know, experience, realize this kind of peace and joy. Now, the word for peace is Irene. It's the word from which we get Irene. It means prosperity. It means quietness and rest. It means to be set at one again. Two people who've had a falling out, but they are set at one. They are at peace again. It means to recognize two people who have been set at one are now reconciled to each other. It applies to peace with God. To be set at one with God. Instead of having a quarrel with God and feeling guilty because I'm not right with him, this kind of peace means I am right with him. Not because of what I've done for him, but because of what he's done for me on that cross. Now I am right with God. That's for eternity. And there's peace connected. I no longer have that guilty feeling. But basically, there is a peace with him. Because of what God did for me, I've trusted in that, and now I am at peace with him. He makes me to be at peace with him. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Not what you have to do for me. It's what I've done for you. And this then is the peace which leads to joy. God's word for joy here is kara, to be cheerful, to rejoice with great joy. And Jesus said this in John 15:11. I'm going to the cross. I will return that my joy might be in you. And in his great prayer there in John 17, Jesus says that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. You see, peace with God produces joy. I am at one with God. I'm right with God. That's reason for rejoicing. The word kara is very closely connected to the word to praise. That's a reason then for praising God. He has put me at peace with him. He's provided the means where I'm no longer at war with him, no longer quarreling with him. And so that's reason for joy. And what a peace and joy that brings. And I don't know whether you've found that in your own life or not, but if you haven't, you need to. I'm at peace with God. He's made things right. I've trusted him to do that. And I want to praise him. There's joy there for that reason. I don't know whether in the quietness of your own heart and life, someplace, somewhere, sometime, you found an understanding. You know, I'm at peace with God. I really am. Even when I face him in heaven for eternity, things will be right because of what he's done. And for the rest of my life, no matter how long I live, there's peace there. And if you've not followed through in that line of thinking before now, then make sure you do that. Realization of peace between yourself and God. And then the follow-up on that, joy. That's reason for rejoicing. That's reason for praise. That's the reason for all these quotations that he's lined up here for the Gentiles. He says, God intended this for the Gentiles. You Jews may think you had an edge on it, and you did have. But God's intended this for the Gentiles all along. And over again, the words peace and joy and rejoicing and praise. God says, this is what I planned for you. And I planned for you to have that two-part harmony. I thought of that just last night as dear Malcolm Nabel was sharing his testimony out there. And the praise of God was shining through his life. And the joy of God was shining through his life. And people saw it. And they responded to that. That was a means God had of attracting souls to himself so that they too could come to praise him. I am at one with God. I'm right with God. I'm trusting in what he's done for me, and there's joy in that. And that's how we can know that we have his kind of confident hope in us. Those are the two ingredients, joy and peace. If you've never had that kind of peace, that sense of I'm at peace with God, and that kind of joy, then probably you won't have that kind of hope. If you have that kind of hope through knowing God in the person of Jesus Christ, then there's no doubt but that you from time to time will become particularly aware of this kind of peace and this kind of joy. And I believe he designates these two things as being the elements in his kind of hope so that we'll be able to review our lives from time to time and make sure that they are there. It's not just in times of prosperity and blessing either. You see, God's kind of hope is based on a peace and joy that does not go away in times of adversity and hardship. In fact, that's how I can know that it's for real, because it doesn't go away when things go smash and the rug is pulled out from under us. I lose my health. I'm still at peace with God. And that's cause for joy. Walk into that hospital room, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. David Barberian, student from Cyprus. Over here as a foreign student. And he'd been doing well on very limited resources down at Indiana University, but then suddenly was diagnosed as having tuberculosis. And the man who'd sponsored him was unwilling to go on sponsoring him. And yet they couldn't send him out of the country because he had tuberculosis. And there was a question as to whether he could even find a place in the hospital or not. And as soon as I could, I got loose and came up from Bloomington, where we were living at that time. As I walked down the hall, I'd asked the nurse at the station, "Where is he? Where is a man by the name of David Rivera?" And she says, "Well, he's down there in the end room on the right. That you'll have to put on the gown and other things." And as I walked down the hall, I heard noises coming out of the room. I walked in there, and here was Dave, and he was propped up in the pillows, and he was singing to two or three of the nurses who were in there. Well, a rug was pulled out from under him. He didn't have a hope. But he did have a hope. And that was the thing that proved it. Because it was joy in his voice as he was singing. He just a young boy. Lose my job. I'm still at peace with God. And there can actually be joy in that. Lose my loved one. I'm still at peace with God. And through tears, there can be joy. Even with the tears, in the very midst of those tears. And that's God's definition of the kind of hope that he puts in our hearts. Romans 5:4. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts. So that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. In other words, you may have God's kind of hope in your heart, but until it's really tested by hardship, the kind of endurance that old Job faced, it's hard for you to know whether you really do have it or not. That's why old Job used that line of reasoning that he used there. He says, "You know, this may just work out for my salvation. Because I'll find out things about the faith that's in my heart that I never would have known." And he did. He discovered things about the faith that was in his heart that he couldn't have known. Peace in spite of tears. Joy in the very presence of hardship. That's the way you know that you have God's kind of hope in your heart. It's not just something you look forward to. Sometime in the future, I hope I'm going to see heaven. It's not just that. Scripture never tells us to hope for pardon, to hope for peace, to hope for reconciliation, to hope for joy. Check the Bible. It never tells you to hope for those. Kind of hope is not something we just look forward to at some point in the future. A maybe so, a think so, I hope so. God's kind of hope is for right now, as well as all eternity. It's based on a reconciling of us to him. There's one scripture that sounds as though God's saying, "Well, you hope for these in the sense that it's only in the future." And I'd be glad to talk with any of you who think of that one scripture, and I'm going to tell you what it is right now, because I believe I can show you. What God's really saying is that the confidence in future is based upon the knowledge of now. I'm at peace with God. His joy is in my heart. God's kind of hope is for now as well as for eternity. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're leaving for school. There's going to be a lot of things hit you that you really haven't thought of yet. That's part of the definition of school. Wouldn't be school if it weren't for that. Wouldn't be what you're paying for. You're going into new friendships at that school. Some of you are going into new occupational responsibilities. Others are going into all kinds of new experiences in witness and in life and in the coming of new life. Apostle Paul was trying to gather together all that God had put in his heart for those ones that he loved there in Rome and for us here in Indianapolis today. Now, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you. Thank you for putting that prayer into the heart and life of your Son, and then into the heart of the Apostle Paul, and even beyond his heart, into the words of his pen. Thank you for writing those words to us, to let us know that this is your heart prayer for us, that you want us to be filled with the joy and the peace that comes from trusting in you, so that we may overflow with your kind of hope. God, thank you for demonstrating what it means to have a heart filled with that desire. We would have our hearts filled with that this morning for others around us, as each one of us would make that prayer for others. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and with peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, hear the prayer of any person who's not really sure this morning. God, hear them as from within the silence of their own heart, they would pray a prayer something like this: God, I'm not sure that I have that kind of peace, that kind of joy, and that kind of confidence in my own heart. But I want to make sure of that. So God, as best I know how, would you forgive me for holding my life apart from you and all that you've wanted it to be? God, forgive me. As best I know how, I hereby trust in all that you've done for me on that cross. I don't understand it all, Lord, but I trust you and what you did on that cross to make things right between us. Instead of trusting in what I can do for you, I hereby trust in what you've done for me to make everything right. Come into my life. Bring in your peace and your joy. And just do with me whatever you want from here on. Thank you now for hearing that prayer. Thank you for coming into my heart, for the hope, the confident knowledge, the peace and the joy that you've brought into my heart through that. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, let's sing together from Psalm 71C. Psalm 71C. We'll rise for the singing and remain standing for the benediction. Immediately following the benediction, we'll sing the stanza on the bottom of the bulletin page. Let's rise to sing. the love of Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with every one of you, now and forevermore.